Alley. The castle's chapel has been remade. The glass and gold chandelier still floats in the centre of the room, the wires holding it up too thin to be seen by candlelight. All these electric miracles. The windows depicting the angels praising Our Lady have remained intact, as have the panels to St. Teresa and St. Jerome. The others, and the enamelled paintings in the cupola, have been replaced and reimagined according to the new scripture. There is the Almighty speaking to the matriarch Rebecca in the form of a dove. There is the prophet Deborah proclaiming the holy word to the disbelieving people. There, although she protested, is Mother Eve, the symbolic tree behind her, receiving the message from the heavens and extending her hand filled with lightning. In the centre of the cupola is the hand with the all-seeing eye at its heart. That is the symbol of God, who watches over each of us, and whose mighty hand is outstretched to both the powerful and the enslaved. There is a soldier waiting for her in the chapel, a young woman who had requested a private audience. American, pretty, with light grey eyes and freckles across her cheeks. "Are you waiting to see me?" says Mother Eve. "Yes," says Jocelyn, daughter of Senator Cleary, who sits on 5 key committees, including defence and budget. Mother Eve has made time for this private meeting. "It is good to meet you, daughter." She comes to sit beside her. "How can I help you?" And Jocelyn starts to cry.
"My mother would kill me if she knew I was here," she says. "She'd kill me. Oh, mother, I don't know what to do."
"Have you come for guidance?"
Allie had looked at the request for an audience with interest. That the senator's daughter should be here was no great surprise. That she would want to see Mother Eve in the flesh made sense. But a private audience? Allie had wondered whether she'd be a skeptic, looking to have an argument about the existence of God, but apparently not.
"I'm so lost," says Jocelyn through her tears. "I don't know who I am anymore. I watch your talks and I keep waiting for I ask your voice to guide me and tell me what to do."
Allie is quite familiar with trouble that is too deep to be spoken. She knows it happens in any house, however high. There is no place that cannot be penetrated by the kind of trouble Allie has seen in her life. She extends a hand, touches Jocelyn's knee. Jocelyn flinches a little, pulls away. Even in that momentary touch, Allie knows what Jocelyn's trouble is. She knows the touch of women and the slow, even background hum of power in the skein. Something is dark in Jocelyn that should be lit and glowing. Something is open that should be closed. Allie suppresses a shudder. "Your skein," says Mother Eve. "You are suffering." Jocelyn cannot speak above a whisper.
"It's a secret. I'm not supposed to talk about it. There are drugs, but the drugs don't work as well anymore. It's getting worse. I'm not like other girls. I didn't know who else to come to. I've seen you on the internet. Please," she says, "please, heal me and make me normal. Please ask God to take the burden from me. Please let me be normal."
"All I can do," says Mother Eve, "is take your hand, and we will pray together."
This is a very difficult situation. No one's examined this girl or given Allie advice about what her problem is. Skein deficiencies are very difficult to correct. Tatiana Moskalev is looking into skein transplant operations for precisely this reason. We don't know how to fix a skein that doesn't work. Jocelyn nods and puts her hand in Allie's. Mother Eve says the usual words.
"Our mother," she says, "above us and within us.
You alone are the source of all goodness, all mercy, and all grace. May we learn to do your will as you express it to us daily through your works. While she speaks, Allie is feeling out the patches of darkness and light in Jocelyn's skein. It's as if the thing is occluded. Gummy places where there should be flowing water. Silted up. She could clear some of the muck in the channels here and here. And may our hearts be pure before you, she says. And may you send us strength to bear the trials we face without bitterness and without self-destruction. Jocelyn, though she has rarely prayed, prays now. As Mother Eve lays her hands on Jocelyn's back, she prays,
Please God, open my heart.
And she feels something. Allie gives a little push, more than she'd usually do, but this girl doesn't have enough sensitivity to feel what exactly she's doing, probably. Jocelyn gasps. Allie gives another three short, hard pushes, and there. The thing is sparkling now, thrumming like an engine. There. Jocelyn says,
Oh God, I can feel it.
Her skein is humming steadily, evenly. She can feel now that thing that the other girls say they felt. The gentle filling sensation as each cell in her skein pumps ions across membranes and the electric potential increases. She can feel that she's working properly. For the first time ever. She is too shocked to cry. She says,
I can feel it. It's working.
Mother Eve says, Praise be to God.
But how did you do that?
Mother Eve shakes her head. Not my will, but hers be done. They breathe in and out. In unison, once, twice, three times. Jocelyn says,
What shall I do now?
She laughs.
I'm shipping out tomorrow. United Nations Observation Force duty in the South.
She's not supposed to say that, but she can't help herself. She couldn't keep a secret now in this room.
My mom sent me there because it looks good, but I won't really be in danger. No chance of getting into trouble,
she says. The voice says,
Maybe she should get into trouble.
Mother Eve says,
You need have no fear now.
Jocelyn nods again.
Yes,
she says.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mother Eve kisses her on the crown of the head and gives her the blessing in the name of the Great Mother. And she goes down to the party. Tatiana is followed into the room by two well-built men in fitted clothing. Black t-shirt so tight you can see the outline of their nipples, skinny trousers with noticeable crotch bulges. When she sits in a high-back chair on a dais, they sit beside her on somewhat lower stools. The trappings of power, the rewards of success. She rises to greet Mother Eve with a kiss on each cheek.
Praise be to Our Lady, says Tatiana.
Glory in the highest, says Mother Eve, without a trace of Ali's sardonic smile.
They've found 12 more traitors, captured in a raid on the north,
mutters Tatiana. With God's help, they will all be found, says Mother Eve. There are infinite numbers of people to meet. Ambassadors and local dignitaries, business owners and leaders of new movements. This party, coming so soon after their defeat in the Battle of the Dniester, is meant to shore up support for Tatiana both at home and abroad. And the presence of Mother Eve is part of that. Tatiana gives a speech about the heart-rending cruelty done by the regimes of the North and the freedom she and her people are fighting for. They listen to the stories of women who join together in small bands to seek Our Lady's vengeance on those who have escaped human justice. Tatiana is almost moved to tears. She asks one of the smartly dressed young men standing behind her to bring drinks for these brave women. He nods, backs away, almost tripping over his feet, and heads upstairs. While they wait, Tatiana tells one of her long-winded jokes. It is about a woman who wishes she could combine her favorite three men into one man, and then a good witch comes to visit her. The young blonde man bounds in front of her with the bottle.
Was it this one, madam?
Tatiana looks at him. She tips her head to one side. The young man swallows.
I'm sorry, he says.
Did I tell you to speak? She says.
He drops his eyes to the floor.
Just like a man, she says. Does not know how to be silent. Think we always want to hear what he has to say. Always talking, 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 interrupting his betters.
The young man looks like he's about to say something, but thinks better of it.
Needs to be taught some manners, says one of the women standing behind Ally,
one of those who run the group seeking justice for old crimes. Tatiana plucks the bottle of brandy from the young man's hands, holds it in front of his face. The liquid sloshing inside is dark amber, oily like caramel.
This bottle is worth more than you, she says. A glass of this is worth more than you.
She holds the bottle in one hand by the neck, swirls the liquid around, once, twice, three times. She drops it onto the floor. The glass smashes. The liquid starts to soak into the wood, staining it darker. The smell is strong and sweet.
Lick it up, she says.
The man looks down at the shattered bottle. There are glass fragments among the brandy. He looks round at the watching faces. He kneels down and begins to tongue the floor, delicately, working his way around the pieces of glass. One of the older women calls out,
Get your face into it!
Ally watches in silence. The voice says,
What the fuck?
Ally says in her heart, She is actually crazy. Should I say something? The voice says,
Anything you say will diminish your power here.
Ally says, So what then? What is any of my power worth if I can't use it here? The voice says,
Remember what Tatiana says. We don't have to ask what they'd do if they were in control. We've seen it already. It's worse than this.
Ally clears her throat. The young man's mouth has blood at the lip. Tatiana starts to laugh.
Oh, for God's sake, she says. Get a broom and mop it up. You're repulsive.
The young man scrabbles to his feet. The crystal glasses are filled with champagne again. The music can once more be heard.
Can you believe he did it?
Says Tatiana, after he's run off to fetch a broom.